Would you ever mock God? Would you do a thing like that? Make fun of him, ridicule him? Would you ever treat God like a fool? In Galatians 6:7, the Apostle Paul, he warns us of this very thing. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he will also reap. And you may be thinking, oh heavens, no, I would never do a thing like that. I would never mock God, but someone needs to hear this, don't you think? Because Paul has made this warning, this admonition, the focus of our text this morning. He's putting together his final thoughts in his letter to the Galatians. The things that he would, he's presenting, the things he wants to stick in their minds. He wouldn't waste the space in God's holy word to write about something peripheral or insignificant or irrelevant, would he? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. The Greek word for mock is mukteridso. Mukteridso, and it's translated really, it's just what our English translations have is mock. It means to turn up the nose or sneer at, to mock, to deride. To deride means to express contempt for, to ridicule, to laugh at, speak of, or write about dismissively or contemptuously, to disdain, disparage, ridicule, scoff, scorn, or taunt. Who would do such a thing? Who could be that foolish? Who could be that foolish? Well, the deceived person. The person who has been deceived is that foolish. The deceived person could be sitting here this morning and be just as shocked as you and me at the thought of mocking God. Because deceived people, well, they don't know they're deceived. In fact, they often, maybe always, think just the opposite, that they're the enlightened ones. We have to remember our context, that Paul has been writing to a group of church people, many of them have been bewitched. They have come under the spell of false teachers who have seduced them by flattery and have brought them, the meaning of bewitched, have brought them under the influence of an evil eye. They've contaminated the way these people can see truth. Galatians 3:1, if you need that reminder. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? What was our verse again? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he will also reap. Who would mock God? Well, apparently, Paul is addressing some of these foolish Galatians who've been bewitched, who've been brought under the evil influence. Their approach to life, the lens through which they see. Luke addresses that in the words of Jesus in Luke 11:34. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. Paul here is warning the person whose light has become darkness. He or she has been bewitched. Unable to connect the dots, this person is drowning in deceit, and the Apostle Paul throws him a lifeline, an admonition which, if applied, will break the hold of deception. This person needs to redirect her life, to refocus her priorities with this simple principle. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a person sows, that he or she will also reap. Would you turn with me to Galatians 6, verse 6? Galatians 6, verse 6. And what we have beginning here is a word. It's a word of instruction. It's a word of commendation. It's something that you have done very well. It's something that you have done very well. Galatians 6:6. It says, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. We are instructed to generously support those who teach the word of God. Now, let me take this opportunity to give us some perspective. And some of it's personal to Carrie and me. It should be personal to you. But, it's been, 6 years or so ago that we got an email. I think the very first contact that Liz had been commissioned to send an email to see if we were interested in this church, Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois. We thought this was probably some church out, and there was probably a little clearing in the woods. You know what I mean? Oh, come to the church in the wildwood. And we thought, but we had, our approach had always been that we would pursue something until we just saw that wasn't going to happen. But here's what I wanted to ask you. Before we were ever in the picture, what did you do when you were looking for a pastor? What's probably the main thing that you did? Starts with a P. Did you pray? Probably a lot. And never dreaming that you were going to get some guy down in Indiana running a loader. And the guy on the loader didn't dream that either. But what I'm trying to do is put together at this point, let me say a couple of things before I get myself too distracted. See, it says here to share all good things, and you are so generous with us in every way. You're so generous with us in every way. When we were coming, we didn't know a lot about the church. And someone had asked me at one point in time, it said, have you seen our budget? I said, well, no, I hadn't looked at that. That wasn't primary concern. But quitting two jobs, selling our home. I've got a good godly woman. Hey, let me ask you this, speaking of that, has anyone ever eaten a meal at our house? Could you raise your hand? There are two or three of you have, okay. But just this whole thing, our calling, drawing us to this particular place, you having the insight, see, because, well, get back to what I was going to say there, we were prepared, small church, work part-time, Carrie might have to work, provide health insurance, all these different things that we were ready to do. You know what they call a trailer in Wyoming out west? They call it a trailer house. We were prepared to live in a trailer house, an apartment, work at Walmart on the side, whatever, and we would have done that. But you share all good things with those who preach and teach the word. You had that insight before we were ever in the picture. And now I have time to pour myself, and I do this. We work very hard for you. I hope you realize that. So let me just take a minute and do that, but not really to do that. But I think you know that. And in this together. So I just wanted to take this opportunity that this is you reap something. You have this generous spirit. You pray, you reap this, and you're harvesting these things. So you have someone here who stands in the pulpit Sunday after Sunday, faithfully preaching to you the word of God. And that was your intent when you were praying for a pastor, wasn't it? We see all the ways that God answers prayer. So this seems like it's an insertion, like it's not connected, but it really is connected. Because part of what Paul is saying here, he's worked so hard to bring them the clear truth on the gospel. What you hear, sometimes you hear people and sometimes they're just confused. Sometimes their teaching is false. But there's a laziness about their study. There's a laziness about their research. It's just haphazard. And Paul is here saying, invest in someone who is going to work hard for you in bringing the truth. And then not only learning that truth and probing the depths, but then you have to communicate it on a Sunday before we were ever in the picture, before you ever heard of Dave and Carrie Scott. you were praying to send a person, and you do, and God has answered that prayer, where you have someone who faithfully teaches and preaches the word of God and serves you. And that's what we are here for you. This isn't a step along the way. This is where we are. You are our lives. This is what God has called us to. So we're instructed to generously support those who teach the word of God. Secondly, when you are taught the word of God by this faithful preacher who you have invested in, when your investment is coming to fruition and he's teaching you these things that you need to hear, do not be deceived and in turn mock God by not paying serious attention to the biblical teaching of sowing and reaping. You know what I'm saying? You've invested in us, and you generously invested. You've invested a lot in us. And we're so our end, you've invested our end, we're pouring our lives into it. Now don't ignore the teaching, the harvest of what you've sown these seeds. The harvest is here. Don't ignore that teaching. Verse 7 of Galatians 6, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he will also reap. In the Amplified, I'll read that same verse, chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions, or by his precepts being set aside. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God, for whatever a man sows, that and only that, and that only is what he will reap. End of the Amplified Version quote. God is not someone to be trifled with. Would you agree with that? I think you would. To trifle with is to treat flippantly or without seriousness, to play or toy with, to treat or deal with someone or something in a way that shows a lack of proper respect or seriousness. And yet, people with their lips can give God this great commendation and honor, but with their lives, they're deceived and they're mocking him. Now, who in their right mind would mock a God of that Daniel speaks of in Daniel 2:20? Daniel 2:20, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. Who in their right mind would try to play that God for a fool? Or the God who Paul speaks of in Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. Or the God that Isaiah speaks of in Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. Isaiah 46, 9, remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Do not be deceived. We should note the real and present danger just from the mere fact that the warning is there. The Apostle Paul would not have wasted space if this was not a real and present danger. What is this deceit? What is this deceit that faces a person? That we can live our lives on earth for ourselves, religious or otherwise, and that God will honor these lives of pretense in the end. You've got in your study sheet, in fact, I even gave you a little definition of throwing a bone and what that means, the idiom. And it's like we throw God a bone because the people that are addressed in Matthew 7, the ones it says, and Jesus said, well, let me just read that. Let me go there to Matthew 7. Okay, I'm getting there. Okay. Verse 21, Not everyone who says. Now remember that, who says. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who what? Does the will of my Father. See, the deceived person, they don't even know it. They would be shocked for you to think that they would be mocking God or ridiculing God or playing God for the fool. But when they don't understand the concept, they think that, well, I can say, Lord, Lord. Or as James addressed in James 2, just those who just, they say they believe. Isaiah, Jeremiah said that they draw near with their lips, but their hearts are where? They are far from God. They're playing around, but they say, you know what? A little religion. Do you remember the commercial? A little dabble, do you? What is it? Brill cream, a little dabble, do you? That's the fool. Religion, a little dabble, do you? That's the deceived person. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a person sows, that he or she will also reap. If you sow your life, if your life is all about you, that is what you will have. If your life is invested with yourself, we have these terms, the flesh and that, and we don't understand, and they're these abstract theological terms. It means our humanity. It doesn't just mean our sinfulness of our humanity. It doesn't just mean the badness of humanity. It means the goodness of humanity. We have good lives, don't we? We have a wonderful home. We have nice cars to drive. You know, as I'm preparing for this, and it's like, boy, it's easy to love this life. I've been doing some landscaping. And I just really enjoy that and seeing that and the flowers and herbs, and our garden looks great this year. And there's nothing wrong appreciating those things and being thankful to God for those things. But that can't be our life. That can't be what drives us. Even our families can become that obstacle between our walk with God, the direction of our lives. God has to always be first. Love him first. The great command, love God with our heart, soul, mind, and might. This deceived person, by virtue of being deceived, is unaware that he or she is mocking God, that we can live life as we please. We can have a little bit of religion. As C.S. Lewis would say, maybe give me a dollar's worth, because that'll get me by. Let's don't overdo it. And then I know what God's word says. I know what the faithful preacher brings to me and what he addresses. But you know, the reasoning in their minds goes sometimes, but you know, God's a God of grace, and you know, I think it'll all work out in the end. That's the deceived person. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a person sows, that person will also reap. Thirdly, this morning, the person who sows life to please himself will reap ruin and destruction. Galatians 6:8a, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. And that's what I'm saying. If our life is just this world, that's what this is talking about. Like I say, we could just the abstract, the theological flesh, and we could miss the point. It's this life. If we're all wrapped up in this world, and this world is it, and we're not living this world in the context of forever, then we're reaping to ourselves. We're sowing, we're planting for ourselves. Galatians 6:8 says it very well in the New Century Version. If they plant to satisfy their sinful selves will bring them ruin. But if they plant to please the Spirit, they will receive eternal life from the Spirit. John 12:25 tells us that whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. See, if your bag of seeds is corrupted, which humanity, ours is, the depravity of man, there's none righteous, there's none who does good, there's none who seeks God on their own. If our bag of seeds is corrupted, and if we reach into that in our humanity, that bag of seeds, then the crop will also be corrupted. Sowing to the flesh includes not only sowing to the worst part of ourselves, to the depth and the darkness, but also the goodness. We've heard the expression, the milk of human kindness, or the milk of human goodness. And there's some wonderful, outstanding things, but if that's our life, the end is destruction. A relationship to God based on and driven by the corrupted desires and passions of our humanity ends in ruin. End of story, you harvest what you plant. Your crop forecast doesn't matter. And this is, see, a lot of deceived people, and this is why they're living their lives. They got a little bit of religion, a little bit of God, and these are the one answered that answer when you say, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? Do you know that your relationship with God, that when the time comes, end of life, you will be with your Savior. He will bring you into His presence in glory. Do you know that? This is the person who says, well, I think so. Or, well, I sure hope so. But we need to know the words. John said, I write these things to you who believe in Jesus, Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Next, but if you sow a relationship to God based on the Spirit, the way your faithful teacher, again, will have instructed you, this is what the faithful teacher does, the investment that you have. He pours himself and he brings you God's truth. Then from the Spirit you will reap eternal life, both now and forever. And this is what we've been talking of for weeks and weeks now, isn't it? The fruit of the Spirit. If God is working in your life, these things will be evident. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These things, we'll see those in our lives. Galatians 6, 8b. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Eternal life isn't, I live here on earth, I die, and I go to heaven, and eternal life starts. I had that concept a long, long time ago when I was a kid growing up. It was like eternal life is when you went to heaven. No, eternal life starts the moment you believe in Jesus Christ and receive forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. I picture it this way, and you've heard me express it like this before. It talks about the narrow gate. The one who believes goes through the narrow gate. And that first step you take when you believe, that first step inside the narrow gate, now you're living eternal life. That's why Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. See, they're living the eternal life, sowing to the Spirit, sowing to the things of God, and the harvest will be the things of God in our lives. Chapter 6, verse 9. And let us not grow weary of doing good. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. The principle, don't grow weary sowing the things of the Spirit, because in God's due season we will reap His harvest. But it is hard work in sowing to the Spirit. Do you know you're in the minority when you're sowing to the Spirit? We know we have the data. We don't have figures, but we know we have the generalization that many are on the road to destruction. Now, we know those are religious people. We're in Matthew 7:13, the wide gate, the easy road. That's where the many are. Now, many, it wouldn't be a simple majority, would it? Because you wouldn't say, if you had 51% and the other side had 49%, you wouldn't say many and few, would you? So what do you got to go up to? 70-30, 80-20, 90-10? I mean, we don't know that, but it's got to be a lot more. Many's over here, but few go through the narrow gate. Now, how's the wide gate described? Well, it's easy. It's the most popular way. It's the most inclusive. Go ahead, bring what you want. If you can say you believe in Jesus, We don't have to be real specific here. You can say you believe in the gospel. You don't have to have specifics. God will understand. See, the problem is they don't know this principle. They don't see the end of their road. What's the end of the wide road? It's destruction. It looks the best here. It's 5-star rating here. It fills churches here. It sounds great, but they don't know the principle. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that you shall also reap. It's hard working, staying on task for the kingdom of God. But what this text tells us, it is well worth it. God's work, but we will harvest in God's due season. And we will be amazed at the harvest. And we will see, because we see now, sometimes we can think, is it worth it? We'll see. It was worth it and more. Next, then we should take every opportunity possible with everyone possible to sow to the Spirit, and especially to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Galatians 6:10, so then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone and especially to those who are of the household of faith. We must remember that we were not set free from our sins to serve ourselves, but to, through love, serve one another. Just scroll back a few verses or several verses back to Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Conclusion. The end matters now. This is what that deceived person who's mocking God, they don't understand. See, God gives us clear instruction on the gospel. God gives us clear instruction and how we can know that we are His children, that we are His sons and daughters. But see, if you muddy the waters, if you live in the gray areas, then you can live life like you want to. You don't have to live as He's Lord, as those who, as we looked at in Matthew 7, you can just say, Lord, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. And the scripture talks about how they exalt God with their lips. Because they say, I can throw God that nice, juicy bone. And He'll buy it in the end, but He won't. He says, don't be deceived. God's not a fool. You can't play with God. Is God a God of mercy and grace and love? Yes, He is. But is He a God of clear instruction and direction in His word? And specifically, what Paul has honed in Galatians is the gospel. The end matters now. You have to have the end in mind. You reap what you sow. The end is reaping. Sowing is now. What are we sowing in our lives? Are you having, is your religion a little dabble, do you? Well, it won't. The end doesn't just matter at the end matters now. If you're not living your life with the harvest, the end, firmly in mind. If we're not looking past this world and looking at the harvest with the harvest firmly in mind, then you are very likely living in deceit. Many are deceived, as I've said. They've taken the easiest, most popular, most common sense. It's the most common sense path to God. It just seems so right. But again, not looking at the end, because the way is a way that seems right to a man or woman, but the end thereof is the way of. See, they're not looking at the harvest. They're not looking at the end. The deceived person doesn't look at the end. That's why we have these stories. They get to heaven. They think good deeds will outweigh bad deeds. They didn't live for Christ on this earth. Now I can make up for it. I've got a really slick presentation. Wait till you see my PowerPoint. That'll convince God. No, it won't. God is indeed a God of grace, but God is not a fool. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he will also reap. Now, if you have any doubt in your mind this morning of where you stand before the Lord. If the Holy Spirit is not this convincing witness showing you in Scripture that you know Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, if you're over here on the Brill Cream side, a little dabble do you, and you think so maybe, or you hope so, or you kind of feel something in your heart, then let me take this principle. Take this principle and use it to obliterate one thought from your mind. And what is that one thought that needs obliterated, utterly destroyed, wiped out, and completely extinguished from your heart and mind? What is that one thought that you just need to allow this principle to completely blow out of the water? That God will somehow, some way, honor your life of pretense in the end. Let God, through His Word, destroy that thought in your heart and mind this morning. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he or she will also reap. Let's pray. Father, thank you for speaking to us this morning. Holy Spirit, thank you for teaching us. Thank you for your word. We pray that each of us would receive, we would each of us would hear you, Lord, as we should. You would direct each of our hearts, humble each of us before you. In Jesus' name, amen.